Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Then after that, we'll try to finish the five other principles, set of four other principles for modesty in dressing. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Sunday school. Thank you for leading us through this whole year of learning. I'm sure along the way, you have convicted people about things. I pray, Lord, that we'll take it seriously and to change according to your will. Heavenly Father, it's not about us, it's about you. It's about giving you glory. It's about living for you because you gave everything to us. And Father, I pray, as believers in Christ, as the ones who have received your grace, received your mercies, received your love, help us to respond, Lord, in a way that honors you, glorifies you, and that can encourage someone else to follow the same. So, Father, I thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us in a special way. Teach us your word and your will in this area of dressing. And, Father, help us to know that every area of our lives need to be submitted, Lord, to your holiness, to your instructions, and Father, to your word. And I pray that whatever that I've spoken, Lord, will be based on your word, and that Father, your Holy Spirit will take the word of God and speak to our hearts, that our hearts might be fully persuaded, and by faith, Lord, we'll follow. Well, thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just a recap. Last week, sorry. Okay. Are the clothes we wear? We'll speak more than what we say, all right? That is actually a very, very clear statement. I think we all know. And many times, wouldn't it be true that when we see someone wearing something, say, oh, that person is like that, the person is like that, okay? So our clothes do make a huge difference in what people think, more than we can ever imagine. We make judgments from what someone is wearing even without proper evidence. Last week, we gave you some examples. So I'm just giving you... This particular quote is actually taken from a psychology text, okay, to make us realize that, I mean, even the world, the children of this world is wiser sometimes than the children of light. The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 16, the children of this world is wiser than the children of light. They actually, and let's turn there, right, so that we can realize actually the world sometimes is wiser than even believers, which is sad. Luke chapter 16. The Bible says, and the Lord commanded the unjust steward. I mean, he was an unjust steward. He was an unbelieving steward. He was a steward who didn't do things the right way. Maybe he undercut. Maybe he do certain things which to advance his own cause. The Lord actually commanded the unjust steward because he had done wisely. And Jesus made this comment, and we must be clear, Jesus wasn't commending his unjust ways. But he's commanding that as a result of what's going to happen to him, that he was going to be thrown out of a job, he had to quickly think of something to save himself. Okay? And the Bible says, for the children of this world are in this generation wiser than the children of light. Than the children of light. So the unjust steward, he was going to be thrown out of a job. Jesus, in this context, parallels it with the Pharisees. Okay, Pharisees, you are going to be thrown into hell. What are you going to do about it? Does that make sense? The Pharisees are saying, nah, I don't care. I mean, I'll still continue my ways. I want to continue my covetousness and all that. Because later on, you realize Jesus talked about covetousness. But you know, the children in this world, using this text, are wiser than the children of light. The Christians will actually tell me music is neutral. It's not. I mean, even rock musicians know it's not. And children of this world, Christians will say, it doesn't matter how I dress, it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. Yes, it's all about the heart. But the Bible says whatever is in the heart will come out. And that's actually an evidence for us to then look at how our heart is. Okay? So it's important for us to realize the outward expression of our faith oftentimes is an outward evidence of what's happening inside. I say again, outward demonstration of our faith is oftentimes an evidence of what's happening inside. Oftentimes, okay? We can certainly hide the state of our heart from people. People will not know how we're living. But you know, you can't hide for long. You can't hide for long. You really can't hide for long. You know, having been 35 years as a Christian and seeing all things that happen, You need to be who you are. Because it will be so damaging and so shocking that on the day of judgment, the Lord sees our heart. Because all along we can deceive ourselves, we are okay. And I want us to think about this. Dressing is an expression of what's in your heart. Okay, after we talk about it at the end. Okay? So last week we talked about a Christian's dressing is to be modest. All right? It's to be modest. We talked about the fact that modesty has to do with a person being willing to allow herself to be, for a lady to cover so that they don't show parts of their body to people who are not supposed to see it. All right? That's what the world uses in terms of advertising. So in terms of modesty, it has to be very, very clear. We also talk about Christians' clothing is to be male and female. Okay? If you come into the church wearing a dress, it's quite clearly you're a female. All right? You come to church wearing a pants or long pants, it's quite clear you're a male. What if you come into church wearing... But if you go out... And for men, let's pretend men go wear skirts, all right? People will still look upon you as a lady at first. They say, hey, who are you? Hey, hi, John, you know? You know, in this world of gender confusion, the LGBT movement, sometimes people have actually taken the position whereby let's be more open. Let's be more open. I was just talking to one of my daughters. You know, in Scotland, the men actually wear kilt. It's not skirt, it's called a kilt, K-I-L-T, okay? And there are a lot of massive problems in Scotland because of that, all right? Once we confuse the gender by dressing, by the way we think about it, it generally leads to a deterioration of morals, which is why as believers we need to take even something as simple as dressing very seriously. As I was driving today, I was just thinking through the lesson, and I realized in Singapore we don't give a lot of thought to it, maybe because we're just so used to the gender kind of mixing. It's okay to wear pants for ladies. It's okay. I'm not saying it's okay for men to wear skirts. I don't think any man will wear skirts, unless there's something wrong here, okay? But many ladies, not just here, but overall, some of the reasons why they actually say they wear pants and all that, because it's convenient, it's part of their job and all that. I think we actually have to put all these reasons to the light of the scriptures to see whether it stands. And if it doesn't stand, then we need to say, Lord, I'll submit to you. Okay? And I'm thankful for many of you who are wanting to do that. But remember, it's not just in church, but it's a life principle that we honor the Lord everywhere we go. Okay? Now, moving forward to the third principle today we're going to look at, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Just 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The third principle with regards to dressing, please ask questions, okay? I know it's a very sensitive thing. It's okay if you disagree with me, as long as you agree with the scriptures, okay? It's okay. And sometimes it's better to talk about it. It's okay to talk about it in Sunday school so that we can discuss, but ultimately we have to look at the scriptures. And at the end of the day, we may not come to a conclusion, but the conclusion must come from the scriptures. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Okay, the Bible says, abstain, stay away from, avoid all from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That is a biblical apostolic instruction for believers. When God put it there, He is wanting us to stay away from everything that is identified with sin. Everything that's identified with evil. And Paul didn't say, abstain from evil. Paul says, abstain from the appearance of evil. Even if it looks like evil or wrong or something that you will never do, don't tolerate that. And the wisdom of Paul, or rather the wisdom of God through Paul, is this. When we can tolerate the appearance, very soon we'll tolerate the evil itself. Does that make sense? When we tolerate the appearance of it, very soon we will tolerate the evil itself. If we can, example, many children watch things they're not supposed to watch. Example, in sexual immorality, I think there was a boy, I think, I'm not sure whether in Singapore or overseas, I was just appalled. He actually watched porn, and she decided that he wants to do it with someone. And he was arrested. In Britain, it is everywhere. You know, in Singapore, it's happening too. In Singapore, it is happening too. In the Woodlands area, in the United, we have worked with people, young teenagers, who are involved in that kind. Why? Because they watched. They tolerated the appearance of evil, and they've gone ahead and do that. This is just a small part. But God's truth, we need to realize God's truth is always true. When God says, stay away from the appearance of it, God has a reason. And let's search God's reason. I believe God's reason is this. When we can tolerate the appearance of evil, very soon we'll go into the evil. Because what Satan has done is he removed a layer of your defense. That's why for girls, you have to take care of yourself that you do not, boys as well, don't give your heart emotionally to anyone before the time, before God's timing. Because if you can tolerate, well, everyone is doing it, you know what? And we watch those romance movies. And what's going to happen is going to stir up things that are not supposed to stir up. And then after a while, that's why many young people are involved. I mean, it's 2 days back, I was at McDonald's. I was just doing my own work. And you know, this teenage, probably 16, 17, I mean, they were hugging and kissing in the McDonald's restaurant. I mean, this is reality. It's reality. And the guy's hands were everywhere. It's not supposed to be there. In the McDonald's restaurant. You know, I shudder to think that when we don't take a stand about something, going forwards, we're going to suffer the consequences. And sometimes we may be too lax, but we have to ask God to reclaim that ground. Ask God to give us boldness and courage for the sake of the next generation and the sake of the people that come that to protect them. All right, so we need to abstain from all appearance of evil. Let's turn to Ephesians 5:11, which is another passage, and after that I'll give you the point. Ephesians 5:11. All right, this is going to be a big one. Okay, not a big one, but God has another layer for us to do with respect to this. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Have no fellowship. Don't stay together with them. Don't walk along with them. Don't agree with them. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works. But do what? Do what? Reprove them. Actually, I wouldn't say tell them off. I say, hey, you need to make a stand against them. Make a stand against them. Many Christians may not like something, but many Christians stop there because what they do is they stop with, okay, I'm not going to have any unfruitful world of, I'm not going to have any fellowship with the unfruitful world of darkness. But they don't obey the next part. They don't actually go to that person and say, brother or sister, that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. You know what actually happens when you take the step of faith to tell that person? You are morally, by God's grace and His strength, standing a ground for God's standard to help that brother or sister come back. Many Christians today choose to just, well, I'm not going to do that. You want to do, go ahead. You know what you're doing? Giving moral permission. Go ahead. At the end of the day, God will judge him. God will judge us. Because the Bible says, reprove them. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and tell people off everywhere, all right? But I think if there is actually a biblical reason why you need to tell this brother or sister, hey, that's wrong, and we need to do right, and we don't say it, the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. It shows our care and concern for this brother or this sister, all right? And so this is the second point. So the point for the Christian's clothing needs is to be identified with holiness and godliness, and not to be identified with anything that is evil. Anything that is evil. Clothing style, if the clothing style is identified with rebellion against God's laws, for example, you may have tiger beer, you may have, you know, there's this T-shirt that have the four-letter word, but they mix up the letters. You know, the brain is very smart. The brain actually knows what those words are. God had made it such that even if I give you the first and last letter or some letters of a long word, the brain can actually put things together. Does it make, do you understand what I'm saying? For example, if I say, okay, I give you, I should put some example. If I put S, a school, S-C-H-O-O-L, right? If I put S-C-O-L, your brain will kind of integrate it to say it's school. Our brain is such a marvelous machine that Satan uses for his advantage. And that's why if let's say as pastor, can you imagine as pastor I wear a t-shirt Heineken? Immediately, you will associate Heineken with me, although I don't drink. But the moral implications is that, hey, the pastor drink one. They will not give you the benefit of the doubt that pastor drinks. Okay? So, the principle is the Christian's clothing has to be identified with holiness and godliness. If the clothing style is identified with rebellion against God's laws, any of the principles with anarchy means a lack of control, with sexual freedom, with blasphemy, with idolatry, with moral decadence, or with any other evil, it should not be worn by a Christian. As long as there is a hint, an appearance of sinful, worldly type of sin, then we need to actually say, no, I'm not going to buy that. Come buy that. The Japanese cat? It's actually quite cute, right? You know what's that? It's actually about luck. You know, some Christians say, oh, that's very cute, and they buy and put it there. Christians ought never to buy that kind of thing. Like yesterday, we were at Sheng Siong, we bought something, and then after that, they gave us calendar. You know, for the new year, I think this is part of Sheng Siong they gave. You know what's behind? It's a Chinese guy, there's a zodiac sign and all that. Then after we give it back, say, we don't need that. We don't need that. That's an appearance of evil. So everything we do, and we have to seriously think, does it honor the Lord? Because we are children of light. We need to live as children of light. Children of light cannot hold things that belong to the world or sin in our camp. Okay? So the question we are, is it the clothing? Is the clothing I'm wearing identify rebellion against God's laws with immorality? And tight jeans on women, torn jeans. Torn jeans is a big thing today. It is a style. Torn jeans is actually rebellion. And you can buy a proper pair of jeans for $20, and you can buy a jeans that's ripped for the same price. I mean, I was thinking, that's not fair. I mean, your jeans is just probably just cut, and you can do it yourself. But the kind of tight jeans actually, you know what tight jeans does? It actually shapes the figure of the lady. To the lady, later on, I'll tell you a little bit more. There's some and very, very clear testimonies of that. That ladies, you need to realize that it may not be a problem for you, it's a big problem for guys. If you were to take all the guys here and go into a room and ask them, have you ever thought evil because someone dressed? All of us would say yes, including myself. Because Satan has made it such. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing they realized was their nakedness. Why? And from then on, Satan have never failed. You know why? That is Satan's most powerful weapon against. That's why pastors fall in America. You need to pray. Thankful for a faithful wife, and I want to keep that. That's why men fall. All right? And that's why we're not just teaching all this for fun. It's a spiritual danger that I hope we can cooperate. I'll talk more about that later. All right? So torn jeans, tattoos even, it actually represents things of the world. Let's look at a few passages. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Okay, maybe let's turn to Titus. Okay, so many verses. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Any questions so far? If you have, please. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Are we talking about the grace of God this morning in the service? But let me start from verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation had appeared to all men. And I was saying that the scriptures teach, not me, the scriptures teach that the grace of God actually teaches us. If you have received the grace of God, it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. The grace of God will teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. It may take time for us to learn the lesson, but we know that that's a lesson. Every Christian, remember one of the marks of a genuine believer, you will begin to love the world less and less. You have to, because that is part and parcel of God's agenda and lesson for every believer, okay? If a person says, I can love the world, love God, we need to seriously check that, because salvation teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, okay? The Christian's clothing is to be characterized by the separation from the world. A Christian must not look like a non-Christian. A Christian must not look like a non-Christian. God has convicted me about my dressing over the years. Because I'm for myself personally, I'm kind of a very chin-chai person. That's why last time I told you prayer meeting, I'll just come in jeans and t-shirt. And God convicted me, hey, you're representing the King of Kings, you dress up. Now, dressing up doesn't mean we're trying to show off ourselves, okay? It means we honor someone as we represent him. Let's turn to another passage. Well, let's turn to James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4 and verse 4. The context, may I ask, who is James speaking to? Christians or non-Christians? In the book of James. Who is he speaking to? If you're not too sure, just flip over James chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. That is the coinciding, so that we know that who James is talking to. Okay, let me just read. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, speaking to believers. He said, my brethren, many times. Chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren. Chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren. Speaking to believers. You are my brethren, I'm telling you. But you know why in verse 4 he said, ye adulterers and adulteresses? Because these are Jewish Christians. The Jews knew what it meant. Because many times in the Old Testament, God said that you have committed spiritual adultery with Baal and with all the pagan gods. Okay? So he said here, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. I want you to look at the structure of this verse, okay? Ye adulterers and adulteresses, who is our first loyalty and allegiance to? Christ himself, okay? Christ himself. And make no mistake, Christ is our bridegroom. We are the bride, yes? We are the spiritual bride of Christ. But if we look for things outside of our relationship, what does that make us? An adulterer. That's what James means, okay? So ye adulterer and adulteresses, don't you know? In other words, they are already in that sin. So don't you know? So James comes in with a spirit of love and compassion. Remember when James actually teaches them, he's not accusing them, he's just telling them as it is with a heart of a pastor, okay? Don't you know that if you make friends with the world, you're actually making enemies with God? It's just like if I love Lydia and I can go out with people, I can go out with other ladies and spend a lot of time with other ladies and all that, I'm basically making an enemy with my wife. Does that make sense? So James is saying, don't you know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will, I heard this message in 1992, an evangelist was saying, whosoever will, it doesn't have to come out of your life. Even if you decide in your mind, whosoever will to be a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Why? Because finally the expression of that will come out. And we've got to surrender that will to God. Does that, any questions? Do you understand the passage? Understand the passage? Okay? Anyone? You're looking at it very sternly. Yeah, I look very stern. But the scriptures are clear. When we have an intention and a desire to love the world, we automatically becomes an enemy of God. One thing I've learned about the Lord Jesus, can I share my testimony in this area? Over the years, I've learned one thing. When we serve the Lord wants 100% commitment to Him. 100%. Brother Johnny, I can't, neither can I. But we can decide, Lord, please help me. I want to be on your side. Please help me. You can decide. You can decide. You can decide. Your heart doesn't want it, but you can decide. So you say, give me an example. Well, a very simple example. How many of you really love to go to work every day? Sometimes you don't, but I say, okay, I'll just go. You're not 100% there. Sometimes you say, hey, boss, I'm not here today, boss. But you're there. You're physically there. Boss, I need some coffee. And you stir yourself up for the work. Now, this is just an example parallel. But you know, as a Christian, many things are actually given to us to practice so that we can grow into that. Okay? So here, the Bible says, therefore, whosoever therefore will intend to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. We're not going to be 100% wanting to be a friend of God all the time. But we can certainly decide, Lord, help me. I want to be your friend. I want to work with you. I want you to work in my life. Lord, help me. And can I tell you a secret? All of us are work in progress. All of us will never reach perfection until the day we see Jesus. But we can certainly decide to follow Him. And following, moving forward, we pray that as a church, we will have all one united under one desire, and that's to serve Jesus Christ and to follow Him with all our hearts. Okay? But then he says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Okay? Any questions? I think 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay? We need to be clear. Okay, so the second one, the Christian's clothing is to be characterized with separation of the world. So I'm praying for all of us as we dress, we will take that principle into consideration. The next one, let's turn to Romans 14:21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. The principle is the Christian's clothing should not cause others to stumble. The Christian's clothing should not cause others to stumble. The Bible says that I'm my brother's keeper. Any clothing style that will cause others to lust, or that will be a poor example to others to follow, or would otherwise cause offense should be avoided. We would mention, in particular, slit skirts, those chongsam and all that, that's slit. One purpose for this fashion is to tease the men. Even if the slit is below the knee, the effect is very sensual. Brother Cloud was sharing, I take this from material, they once asked a girl, a Bible college young man, if they were tempted sexually by slit skirts, and every one of them said they were. These are Bible college men. Many women seem to think that the issue of modesty is basically the man's problem, and if he would keep his eyes to himself, that would be the end of the matter. The fact is that both men and women have a grave responsibility. Christian men, let's turn to Job 31, verse 1. Okay? Men, we have to memorize this verse. Job 31, verse 1. We need to memorize this verse. Job 31, verse. Okay, let us all, the men, let's read this together and then make it a memory verse for ourselves. Okay, ready? Job 31, verse 1. Ready? 1, 2, go. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Did you hear the structure of that verse? I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Now, what's the connection? What you see, you think about. And Job is not talking about anything else than thinking thoughts that are filthy. And that's why we struggle. And this is a very serious thing. Christian men must most definitely keep their eyes. That is not to say that though Christian women can dress as they please because they have no responsibility in the matter, if they know that men are seriously tempted in the matter of sexual lust, and if she knows that certain types of dress can cause more problems for men than others, why would a godly girl or woman not want to do anything she can not to cause a potential for stumbling? You know why we have dress standards? It's so that Satan don't get a hold of us. All right? I'll read a quote here. Though it be their sin, men's sin, that is the cause, it is nevertheless your sin, ladies, to be the unnecessary reason. For we must consider that we live among sinful people. We live among sinful people. Okay? This was spoken by a pastor. His name is Richard Baxter. That's back in the 16th, 17th century. All right? 17th century, that's about 600 years ago. Yeah, about that, 600 years ago. And he already writing about the fact that, ladies, you need to dress properly. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a sweet psalmist of Israel. But because of someone who took a shower in a place he's not supposed to take a shower, David sinned. You know how many thousands of people died because of that sin? I want us to understand that. Okay? Why was she bathing in a place where someone could see her? Most women don't understand how powerful the visual element is to the men in the realm of sex and sexuality. For the men, God made us to be very visual. And so we have to help. Sisters, I'm just telling you this from the scriptures, we need to help men by dressing properly. Not just Christian men or non-Christian men. That's even worse, non-Christian men. Okay? If you actually go to certain places, I know of my lecturer in Australia was telling me, she's an Australian. When she walked along the street, I mean, the way she dressed pants and all that, the men will kind of hint whether they want to make out, you know. They want to get involved. And of course, she will just walk off. But you know how we dress. Very loose, see-through. We need to be very careful, okay? One man wrote this. I do believe most women just do not know how men think, period. I believe there is a whole segment, group, class of women who, if they really understood men, would change their dress code because they do want to please God. You just need to understand it's not just a list of do's and don'ts set forth to force them into frumpiness. You know frumpiness? It's like, well, I'm going to dress like an old... Doesn't mean if you dress well, like in dresses and skirt, you have to be like, the old auntie and all that. No, it doesn't have to be. You can still be elegant. You can still be beautiful in the sight of God. And of course, beauty in the sight of God is of the heart. But you can still look very nice outside. Okay? But it's a desire of godly men to gain your cooperation, helping them not to lust and to not be summoning blocks because they just want to please God. Okay? So this whole area is very, very important. Another man wrote, the biblical issue of modesty is best understood by the understanding of being defrauded, cheating. Okay. Any questions? I'm moving forward with this strongly because I believe in growing a church that loves God. We need to take this dressing issue very, very seriously. Right? Because it's an issue of honoring God. It's an issue of actually honoring God. Okay? Let's turn to Titus chapter 2. Next one. Next point. This is the last point. Titus chapter 2, verse 2 to 5. Titus chapter 2, verse 2 to 5. Right? Let me just read that. The aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in temperance. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And the principle is that the older Christian should be an example to the younger Christian in this area of dressing, and of course in areas of life. Older women might be able to wear certain clothing styles without causing men to lust for good reason, but they need to be examples to girls and to younger women. Okay, why is there such a focus on women? It's simply because it's not because we're just being biased. It's just that the scriptures teach that a lot more focus is on ladies dressing because sexual immorality is so rampant. and man is always the aggressor, okay? And one of the areas that men always tap on is the visual element. That's why even motor cars, even engine oil, when they sell engine oil and advertise for engine oil, they put a lady there, not dressed properly. Why? Because they would. Their goal is not that lady. Their goal is get you to buy, to stir up something. Okay? Does that make sense? Sexuality sells in advertising. In fact, you go to mass communication, it's one of the principles. Sexuality sells. All right? So, now whether we are married or not, if we are older than another younger lady, I'm thankful for many of our ladies that come to church, you dress in the appropriate way. I'm going to challenge us to make it a life principle. Right? Because we need to be an example to our children, that come in for Sunday school. We need to be an example to the people of the element of godliness, that this is what the Bible teach. And people say, how come? There was one time I heard one lady come, oh, I didn't know that you still wear dress. It was literally many, many years ago. I don't know that. Wow, how come your church, people do wear dresses to come to church? It's like, because they come from churches, they don't. And some people wear Bermudas, they wear shorts. I think let's come to church for prayer meetings or whatever in proper dressing as well. All right? The older Christians must be an example for the younger Christians. And I'm imploring. And I think many times we lose a younger generation simply because the older generation did not set the standard. Because there's no standard to see. There's no emulation. There's no example the younger ones can follow. By God's grace, we want to change that. We need to recapture this ground by God's grace and ambassador. We need to ask God for his grace and his strength. Now, I know it will take time. As pastor, I'm preaching this, teaching this. I know it will take time, but God's Holy Spirit needs to stir us up and say, hey, there is a next generation that's growing up and we may be losing them unless we are willing to say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you with all our hearts. Okay? It will take time. Okay, I'm not asking us to be perfect, but I'm asking us to take God's teaching seriously. Alright? All right, we're finishing with this quote. Older women might be able to wear certain clothing. Okay, this is what I talk about. Dress is a matter of the heart. You might get somebody straightened out on a matter of clothes they ought to wear, and they still be just as lost as they were before you met them. That simply means I can tell you to dress right, and you do dress right, but you still can be unsafe. That's what he's saying. Before I talk to anybody or clothes or anything else, the first thing I want to know is about the heart. Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Do you want to honor God? And this applies to both men and women and girls. Has your heart been purified by faith? Have you believed in the heart that God had raised Christ from the dead? The first thing I want to know is about the heart and salvation. If you haven't been saved, it's not going to help your soul one way or another change your clothes. You first have to come to Christ. I think we all know that. If you are saved, it is still a matter of the heart. If I were talking to a Christian about this, the first thing I would want to talk to him about would be the heart. Is your heart right with God? If your heart's not right with God, you're going to resent every argument and resent anybody even bringing up this discussion. The Bible talks about the heart. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God is talking to Christian people here in Hebrews 10 just now. And in verse 24 and 25, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a man or son is. But exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Dressing properly is a matter of the heart. Dressing properly is a matter of the heart. Okay? So very quickly, Christians dressing to be modest. Okay, just in practice, all right, in practice, reaching to the thighs. Okay, this is actually what the Bible teaches. Okay, the Christian's clothing is to be clearly male and female, pants short, there is knee length for men, and skirts and dresses flaring for ladies. I think I was just thinking through this. Sometimes ladies may have so-called women's pants, but it needs to be flaring, and it's clearly that it's for the ladies. Does that make sense? It has to be flaring. Okay, I've seen ladies wear jeans tight up to here. It's no different from a jeans. I've seen ladies who wear jeans and then fold up. that's still wrong. Okay? So it has to be a flaring. The key thing is flaring. So, I mean, even the world uses in toilets, men and ladies, ladies with the skirt, it's quite obvious. That's how we make the distinction. Okay? The Christian's clothing is to be identified with holiness and godliness and not to be identified with anything that's evil. So if you have anything, ACDC or any pictures on your, like for example, I saw yesterday, four-letter word, what anyone thinks behind, worn by a teenager. Four-letter word, what anyone thinks behind. Teenager. I don't care what people think. All right? The Christian's clothing is to be characterized by separation from the world. It must be clearly Christian. All right? Well, there's no so-called Christian clothing, but it must be clear that it's not following the fashions of this world. Christian's clothing should not cause others to stumble. The older Christians should be an example for the younger. Any questions? So men, we are as responsible for that. I think what we can do, I believe, as men, we need to take responsibility for our mind. And the only way you can keep your mind pure is to be in the Word. Is to be in the Word. Okay? Our mind, our eyes and our mind, men, ought not to see things we're not supposed to see, especially in the privacy of your phone and the internet. You need to guard it. If you have problems, you need to put, I think Singtel has it, and they try to protect restrictions on your use. Okay? A certain words you type in, immediately they block. You need to put all this to guard yourself. But Pastor, that's not a matter. If you're seriously concerned about this area of purity, then do all you can. Okay, why do you think Singapore has recalled their Air Force guys and show? Why? It's to deter. You say, don't mess with us. Yeah, we can defend ourselves, but don't mess with us. We're putting out, we're getting people to be ready. We're getting, the terrorists haven't attacked. Why are we also ready? Why? Because we need to protect. You know, as Christians, we need to be able to also understand that it's urgent. It's urgent, and Satan is on a rampage to destroy us. Clothing is one of them. Okay, any questions? And I'm praying moving forward as a church, we would be very clear about this. And not people who come, we will actually educate them and teach them as well. I know in the spiritual area of life, it is your relationship with God. Like Pastor Bruce Lackey said, it's a matter of the heart. People always say, Pastor, it's my conviction. I know it's your conviction. But is your conviction based on the Bible or based on what you personally want to do? If it's not based on the Bible, I'm afraid as pastor, I may have to rebuke or admonish. I don't want to. I don't want to be the bad person. But I'll do my job if I have to. Because by God's grace, we need to move forward in holiness. And holiness is about following what the Lord says in both the Word and the spirit of the Word. Okay? Any questions? Feel free to discuss this. All right? I may sound a little bit like draconian. I don't want to control. But I do want to fulfill my responsibility as pastor to tell you God has His standards. We need to live by those standards if we are believers. But I also know we will never be perfect. We're not here to judge. We're here to grow. Okay? And we need to have that mentality that I don't want to grow. And is this what the Bible says? I'll follow that. All right? Let's all work at this together. All right? Any questions? I'm just assuming that people may have questions. That's why I said what I said. But I believe you all do want to love the Lord. Okay? All right? Any questions? Feel free to talk to me about things so that we can be clear on this matter. All right, so for the Crossroads camp, that's why we are very clear about the dress standards. All right, we're not going to kind of waver anymore. I think we've wavered for too long. So just making it clear and just trusting God to bring us forward. All right? Yes, sir. For non-believers, They can dress whatever they will. Of course, if they are see-through and all that, I will have to go and push them. I have, as Pastor, I told you before, people walk in dressed in a way that's not appropriate. I've got to preach looking somewhere else. It does affect me. It does affect me. That's just us. So for Christians, for members, let's stick to biblical principles. Non-believers come in, visitors come in, we can't control. But we pray. Firstly, remember, then we pray firstly for their salvation. We pray that God will help them to see. If they can't see, but hopefully even in the environment of Christian love and Christian biblical principles, they can see, hey, there's a difference. And through that, God will change the heart. And then when the heart is changed, I've seen so many people who are so willing to be allowing the Bible to control them. See, some of our visitors, they come and go, the song is, you don't interfere with their lives. We just have asked God to change their lives. Yeah. Does that make sense? So very clear, non-believers come in, we can't control anything. But if you're a believer, you're a church member, let's uphold the standards of God, not the standards of the church. The church have no standards except from God. I want to be very clear. Because a lot of people accuse us of don't separate God and the church. A lot of people do that. This is God's church. And this is not my church. That's why teaching clearly from Scripture is an important thing. Okay? Thanks. Any questions? Any other questions? Okay, now let's pray. All right? We have about a couple of minutes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. And I'm sure everyone is willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. It's not my words that's going to change lives, but your word, your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I depend on you. We depend on you. Give strength to everyone, Lord, in their mind to make the decisions they have to make. And Lord, we'll praise you. Father, you're such an awesome God. From the time in our lives that, Lord, we didn't even know about you, you already sent someone to tell us about Christ. And through that, Lord, we have seen your loving hand guiding us all along. Father, you've never failed, Lord, to stay with us through the thick and the thin of our lives. Father, you have never abandoned us. You have never forsaken us. We're so thankful, Lord. Help us, Lord, in our little ways to honor you, to love you with all our hearts. And I pray for every believer in Christ. I pray, Lord, that this lesson will not offend them. It might, but Father, you will bring them to a higher level of love for you and say, Lord, if this is what you want, help me to follow you. I pray for some who may not have trusted Christ before, or rather have never trusted Christ. I would say they believe in Jesus, but they only say, but not in a saving way. I pray, Father, they give their full faith, abandon their sin, and follow you. Bless the service to follow, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.